Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you leave?
And welcome to another episode of Continue Mission. I am your host, James McCormick, also known as Captain McCormick. And, you know, it's a title I earned, and I used to tell people just call me James, but they just keep calling me Captain, so I'm just going to just let it roll. Mass hysteria in America, folks. Violence on an all-time uptick, and people leaving the realm of sanity and opting to embrace the most obscene and insane. Talking about all that tonight on Continue Mission with Rich, Katie, Rob, Father Michael Pacella, and myself. And I just want to tell you right now, folks, if you get offended easy, then I suggest you toughen up, Cupcake, or move on down the road, because we are not adjusting the curriculum for the sake of your feelings. So call in and join us tonight for the all-American, God-loving, and awesome next episode of Continue Mission, where we jump all over the most sensitive topics that most are afraid to talk about. So strap in, hang on, and let's roll, folks. Notice I didn't say anything about it being Pride Month, but I'm going to say something now. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ one day out of the year. We celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ most places 3 days out of the year. We celebrate Veterans Day one day, and we celebrate or honor Memorial Day for the fallen who died defending our country for one day. But you want to set aside a month for a sexual choice or whatever you want to look at it. I think that's wrong. And there's many reasons why it's wrong. Number one, because we have a month that it is pounded into every social media outlet, every place in the world about LGBTQ and about acceptance and about how this is great and how about how we should let kids make their own choices about their sexuality. How dare us, the heterosexuals, you know what? That right there needs to be a protected class of citizenry right now, because the heterosexuals, the people that actually are married and you know, to the opposite sex and actually are fulfilling the gift that God gave us to be able to go forward and to, you know, multiply, we're condemned or we're told, sit down, shut up. How about a whole month of traditional family, traditional American family values? How about that? See, people don't want to talk about that. Now, they'll want to burn your house down if you talk about that. You see, because that's just the way that it is, right? You just, if you don't like something, you destroy it. The youth are on an all-time wild, insane kick. And parents, you better get your belts out. And you better start disciplining these kids, because they're going to be dead soon. And they're going to be killed by their own, because there is no law that's protecting. Just today in our home state of West Virginia, state police officer was ambushed and killed in Mingo County. Ambushed by a no-good, dirty coward for his family. I pray for the family that's suffering right now. People that sent their loved one off to work today and he's not coming home alive, because some no good, rotten, stinking coward. But we are here to, let's just forget that. Let's worry about poor old George Floyd or the other criminals that get killed. Now, it was bad what happened to George Floyd, but folks, he wasn't the pillar of the community. He didn't even have a job. He wasn't contributing. I'm not saying that he deserved to die. He absolutely did not deserve to die. But they celebrated that man like he's some kind of a hero. And I promise you that George Floyd got a better funeral. He even got a flag that was flown over the Capitol. My friend that was killed in Iraq didn't even get a flag that was flown over the Capitol. The state police officer probably won't get one either, unless somebody's listening saying, hey, hurry up, get one of the politicians to get one. Let's hope that they do. The point that I make is we're worshiping the wrong things. We're paying homage. So if you set aside a whole month to LGBTQ whatever, that whole month. I mean, you can't listen. We turned off regular television in our house. We just get, you know, we just get the pay-per-view stuff. That's all we get. And I watch news, you know, without any commercials. I pay a little more for that, but I don't want to be bombarded by the nonsense. So I'd suggest everybody else. So if you've got Optum or Suddenlink or one of the other these channels, listen, you're going to get bombarded with that stuff. Just turn that stuff off. You can just go get a Roku, man, and get all those channels and order all those channels. And if you see anything you don't like, turn it off. Very simple. But if you got regular television, and that's even me watching, sitting down watching Fox News, okay, I'm getting hammered by the most liberal, nonsensical things I've ever seen in my life. So it's like, you know, I'm not giving you my money. I can spend it on something else. People cannot walk down the street. They get violently assaulted. Especially old people, women, children. I'm seeing more and more violence perpetrated against women, the elderly, and kids, Caucasians mainly. Don't like it? It's the truth. Go look it up. Go look at crime statistics. I'm tired of just saying, oh, well, we better not say that. I'm not here. I don't care about your feelings. I really don't. I don't care about your feelings. What I care about is for liberty and justice for all, A-L-L, and that includes you and your kids too. So if you're perpetrating this violence, you're talking people into this nonsense, then knock it off. Because 65% of this country is going to get pissed off just enough one day, and they're going to say enough is enough. No matter how violent, how mean, how wicked you think you are, when you turn all that hate and all of that anger loose on the streets, it's going to do nothing but hurt, kill, and destroy. Prefer to have peace. Self-defense. I know Rich is going to talk a lot about self-defense tonight, and I agree with everything he's saying about self-defense. But I've got to the point to where I'm getting too old to be throwing fists anymore. 55 years old, I'm too old for that. Although I can and I will when I have to, and have been driven to that recently. It just seems like it's all the time. You know, I did a Bible study class and was asked a question about what's the Bible say about homosexuality. Well, let me pull out the Bible and tell you. You could have heard a pin drop. From that point forward, that message was relayed to all of these activists who then all of a sudden decided to put this big target on the church, on the ministry, and say, he's a hater. Jesus would have embraced us. Yes, Jesus would have embraced you. Jesus embraced the adulteress, but Jesus also told the adulteress to go and sin no more. And what you're doing is sinning. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. You, me, everybody. The only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ. Killed him, hung him on a cross, but he rose again. And because of that death, burial, and resurrection, even a sinner like you, even a homosexual, even a murderer, even a pedophile, if you truly repent of your sins and you come to Christ and you ask for forgiveness, guess what? You can be saved too. But we live in a world that has shut that down, shut that message down. They've retracted, they've pushed that back to let's not talk about that on television. Let's keep that back. Let's not hear it. Let's not talk about it. I'm not going to quote scripture because that's Father Michael Pacella's lane, but I know he's going to lay some stuff out for us. But I'm going to tell you this, that unless we get ourselves right in America, we are going to fall harder than Rome ever fell. And we're going to live and die in the streets of America with pain and agony and misery. And people are already doing it right now. All you have to do is just, you don't even have to turn on the news anymore. You know, I'm telling you, I can't go out of my back, on my back porch without hearing violence, hate in this little town, in this little community. We've had people move in and they play what they call music. Every other word is GD and F and this and that. It's their right. It's not my right to have to hear it. But it happens. So I'm going to build a wall around my backyard. And I take my kids out and I show them how to defend themselves. I show them how to shoot. I show them how to survive. Yes, I do. Because I see the way things are coming. They're still in public school for now. That may change too. Just because, what's the point? So here we are in America at this day and age, in a time where violence and treachery, hatred, you want to talk about bigotry? You want to talk about bigotry? There's so much bigotry. But the only kind of bigotry you hear is whenever it's a white person doing it. But there's so much bigotry. And you see, I've got friends of all colors, all nationalities. They speak all different kinds of languages, and they're friends. And they see it too, and they're like, we're not part of that. It's just like I'm not part of the Ku Klux Klan or white supremacy. But according to Joe Biden and his group of thugs on the left, I'm guilty for being born white. Guilty for being born in this skin color. Guilty. And I should feel ashamed because of the way that the Southern or the Africans who enslaved their own people and sent them over here, or the British colonies that enslaved people to include my Irish heritage, I should be ashamed. I shouldn't be proud of the fact that five Irishmen came here right after the potato famine, and they happened to be named McCormick, and they all fought in the Civil War. Four fought for the North. One fought for the South. That's right. One was the Medal of Honor recipient. Michael McCormick, buried in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So let me tell you how I feel about that. I think I need some kind of money or payback for that. Because nobody's respecting the fact that two of those brothers, Frank and James, stayed out in that cold field in Virginia and fought with the Irish Brigade many, many, many battles and survived to come home and to make a living here and to raise a family and to eventually have me through a long line of generations and generations. Really not that very far back, because my great-grandfather was Preston McCormick, and he was born in 1870, not long after the Civil War. So here's what I tell you, folks. If you're looking for me to be ashamed for being born as a white man, I'm not. If you're looking for me to be a racist or a bigot against somebody because of any other thing, I'm not. There's only two types of people in this world, folks, and that's the decent and the indecent. And if you're decent, then you're a friend. If you're an indecent person, then you're an enemy. And that's just the way I'm going to start lining people up now. And it's sad, but it's true. And it's come to that point because God has blessed America, and we are allowing it to fall through the cracks. We're allowing these thugs to get elected into office, these criminals that couldn't hold a real job, that can't even walk off of a stand at the Air Force Academy without falling and busting their rear end multiple times. Clowns, jokers, whether it be by hook or crook or by honest votes, the fact is that's what we got. And here in my state, we got people running for the governor. They want to take the mantle for the state. But only two of those candidates even mentioned the death of this state trooper. Today, two. First one being Mac Warner, retired U.S. Army officer, and the second one being Moore Capito. And God bless them both for having the intestinal fortitude and the courage to stand up and say something. Patrick Morrissey, the attorney general of this state, the head of law enforcement, crickets. But somebody will hear this show, I promise you. They're running in there right now, and they're going to put it up. Oh, we forgot something. Don't make this one about you, Patrick. You got to talk about this guy now. I know it'll be tough. Had a great conversation with the former candidate, retired Navy SEAL Captain Bill Irwin from Missouri today. What a blessing. He's listening in now, by the way. Oh, God bless you, Bill. Sir, I know you told me to call you Bill, but I got to call you sir. That's a rank you earn, a Navy SEAL. And we talked about on the phone today, we talked about God and faith and country and what we can do together to make things better. We talked about our blessed nation. We talked about duty, honor, courage, sacrifice. Wow. That's the only thing that really was the highlight of my day today, honestly. Other than waking up and thanking God for the existence that he's given me. Because everything else has just been so rotten. You know, you just look around. So anyway, so I've got the team on here now. Rich, I've got Father Michael, and I've got Katie and Rob. How's it going this evening? You're live on the air.
Woohoo! We're good. So good to be here. You meant to say that you were looking forward to being with us, too. You forgot that part.
Hey, look, I really, really needed this tonight. I needed that right there because, you know, it's like when you talk, I can see the smile. You know, it's like you can always tell when they're happy and they're talking and they're smiling when they're talking. You know what I mean? And it's like...
See, and that's why you are my big brother in Christ right there, buddy. Let me tell you. If I need to have a pick-me-up and feel good, I'll just call you.
That's it. That's it. Hey, look, I tell you, you would have been blessed today with that conversation with Bill. What a great bad guy. You know, I mean, it's how often do you get to sit down and talk with a Navy captain, which is an 06? That's a Navy SEAL. It's just, it doesn't happen too often. And
my goodness.
Yeah, we really supported him. He didn't win the election, but like he said, you know, he said God took me off that pathway and put me on another one. So I'm looking at other things to do. And I'll tell you what, he's on Facebook and he does these inspirational messages and I told him, I said, Bill, I said, I haven't seen you do an inspirational message in a while. He says, I'm going to do that. He says, I'm going to do that again. He's listening right now though, by the way. So Bill, please make sure you put that on.
Oh,
I hear it.
Well, openly,
yeah. Openly talks about his faith in God.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Join us. join Mac Warner's page, People of Prayer.
Yep.
We'd love to have you make comments on our page.
Yeah, he's definitely a one of a kind. So, Rich, Father Michael.
Yes, sir.
I told you I'm going to save any quoting a scripture. Now, you remember I had the talk with you. We had a discussion about somebody asked me about homosexuality and mm-hmm. and I brought out some scripture and but I was very careful and very gentle with that. It wasn't like I was mm-hmm. like mean-spirited. But wow, you know, the hate shade came down and it was like I thought I was going to be stoned for that. What's your thoughts on all that?
Well, my overall thoughts about the attitude in our country, even in the church, is a lack of the fear of the Lord, reverence for God. People are so flippant, irreverent. There's not a real seriousness. It's going to be a wake-up call when we die and stand before God for the immediate judgment. Everything we've ever done will go before us. Yes, there's grace. Yes, there's forgiveness. Yes, there's love. But there's accountability. Don't pay your taxes for a few years and see how much grace you receive. And so I just realized that people have cast off restraint. And so all the lawlessness, you know, all the hate mongering, you know, when my students, when I teach them debate, I tell them about a lot of fights that I have watched and certainly have been in with sparring. After you're done, you might beat the snot out of each other, but you hug each other. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we need to grow up. All the deviant behavior, all of the behavior that dishonors God's way, you know, when my kid was young, he was trying to put two pieces of the hose together, but they were both male parts. And, I mean, there's some very, very clear physiological things, and you mentioned about reproduction and things of that nature. Nobody wants to hate anybody, but if someone's a fornicator or an adulterer, yes, Jesus forgave and didn't condemn, but he said, go away and sin no more. So mm-hmm. I think we need to sober up a little bit. The Bible talks about being sober and be serious about the fear of the Lord. And all these aberrant behaviors, if we're in relationship with God, will be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know, the criminals don't obey the law, you know, so they want to make more serious, more stringent gun laws. But when you're lawless, you don't adhere. And I, you know, when John the Beloved, who used to rest on the breast of Jesus, saw him in all his glory, he fell as a dead man. I've encountered the Lord as an adult. And if it wasn't for his grace, we couldn't stand it. And so that's my message. If you really understood the holiness of God, some of the people that experienced the Asbury, one of our priests from New York, they felt the overwhelming love of God and the overwhelming sense of God's holiness. And I think we need to wake up in our country because we're destroying each other. We're destroying our children. And people don't want to know the truth. The natural law, people know deep in their hearts we have a conscience. I would have soldiers come to me who are, you know, committing adultery or whatever, especially when I was in Korea. They know what's wrong and what's right, but they would try to justify it because, oh, well, how do I know what she's doing back home? We have a conscience. Some of it has been marred. You know, it's like a mosaic that an elephant took a crap on. You know, you don't see the image of God and the likeness of God. But I just really wish that we get more serious about this. Yeah, God's love is constant. His forgiveness is great. But I'm telling you, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus himself said, don't fear the man who can kill the body. We're talking about all these people getting beat up, but fear he who can kill the body and then condemn the soul to hell. So I just think we need a wake-up call about reverence and about the fear of the Lord. One of the great evangelists of the past really got into getting rich and all this kind of stuff, and somebody visited him in prison and said, "When did you stop loving Jesus?" "Oh, I never stopped loving Jesus," he said, "I stopped fearing God." Now, fear doesn't mean, you know, God's a big, bad boogeyman and I'm afraid. But, you know, I boxed a lot of people and so did Rich. I'd never get into the ring, even with cotton balls on, with George Foreman or Mike Tyson. And we don't realize what we're dealing with when we're dealing with God. You know, God knows all things. Jesus has eyes as a flame of fire. And all this nonsense that's going on, there will be a day of reckoning. And, you know, I want to have the right response before the Lord. And God's word is God's word, okay? And I just think that we're in a very, very lawless. I remember during Vietnam where we had a lot of race riots and a lot of difficulty between the races. And I remember my 06 chaplain trying to talk to a couple, you know, E5s or whatever, and they were like, "Keep walking, what are you saying?" Like, there's so much of a lack of understanding of God's kinship. You know, he's the benevolent authority, the benevolent tyrant, if you will. And I just think that we need to understand. Most people talk about the man upstairs, you know, with candy in his pocket and all this kind of, have never really confronted the Lord. When you confront the Lord, you fall on your face as a dead person, and you thank him for his grace and love. It's not
well,
a matter,
Rich,
of talking to everybody. It's talk to everybody. I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all over the place.
No,
tell them
the truth. No.
Rich.
No. All right.
Rich.
All right.
Are you okay, Rich?
Did I miss something?
Seriously. This conversation's going nowhere. Go ahead.
Rich.
Well, that's your opinion. I think I said some significant things, so that's your opinion. Whether you think it's going anywhere. It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah. Rich, so enlighten us, Rich, with your philosophy.
No, let Katie talk.
Okay.
All I'm going to do is argue with you guys.
We know. That's what you're here for. That's why we bring you on here. You are that voice of the crowd.
Are you sure? Are you sure you want Katie to talk? I will do. Let me tell you. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Let him have it.
Let him have it. Okay. Ready? Because I love him. Okay, here I go. So, because I love people like him and Rich, you know, Father Pacella, I don't care what color you are, what nationality you are, I just love people. I do. And if you don't like it, I just love people. Father Pacella was right when he said that, you know, we're all going to have to stand before the Lord. We are. One of the jobs that I do is take care of hospice patients who are dying. And so I've taken care of different kinds of people in different situations. They've all still died. And I can guarantee that they have had to stand before the Lord. So whether you're gay or straight or black or white, it doesn't matter. The scripture still stands the same. Fortunately, I was raised according to the scripture, and I was raised to respect the Lord and follow his word. I'm not saying I'm perfect. but I strive really hard to be. I strive really hard to obey the Lord. And when I mess up, I ask for forgiveness and I try my best to keep going. But the thing about it is, if you don't mind me reading a scripture, do you mind?
Oh,
anybody out there?
Yeah, go for it. Yep.
Now listen, you best be listening to me.
I'm listening. I'm listening.
Okay. The scripture then is in 1 Corinthians. So I'm not trying to bash anybody, like I said at the beginning, because I love everybody, but the rule is still the same. It's God's rule, command to follow, and so you just have to. The same way you do your parents, the same way you do the law. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and following, it says, "Do you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." That's a pretty long list. I don't see that he just said homosexual. Verse 11, and that is what some of you were. And this is the neat part that my dad taught me about, because it almost used to, when I was younger, make me feel panic, like, well, wait a minute, though, because I go to school with some homosexuals. I go to school with kids that are out getting drunk, and I can definitely tell you are slanderers. So what's going to happen to them? Well, if you keep reading, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Key word there, mastered. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. I believe he's talking about everybody there, gay, straight, bi. Verse 14, and I'm almost finished. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Verse 16, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. Verse 17, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So this is what we have to do, whether we're homosexual, bisexual, straight, drunkards, slanderers, this is what we have to do. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not own. And watch out. Now, I'm not being racist here. I'm not trying to bring in any of the slavery things that we were talking about last week. Mm-hmm. But here it goes. This is from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You were bought with a price. Sounds like to me the same as a slave. White, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. So that is for people, in my opinion, that is for people like me.
All right, Katie,
like those
can I
who,
ask you one question? One question.
Yes, sir.
Say how many, I'm talking percentage, how many, what percentage of the American population do you think you're even talking to?
Well, right now, for the main part, I'm talking to myself because I hope people are listening to me.
Let me interject quickly, too. You don't know what the Holy Spirit does with God's word. Yeah, this is not a thing where you take a poll. You share God's word, and the Holy Spirit does the work, whether it's in a Billy Graham crusade or whatever. It's not about relevance, it's about truth.
Okay, yeah. Father Michael. All right. I just want to point this out. I have been personal friends with Father Michael for 23 years. He was the transportation school chaplain right after I got hired, and we just hit it off. And I have, because of my friendship and my admiration for him, I've been a parishioner of his church, okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, comparing him to all the other churches I have attended, when they go through their homily, it's like grade school. When my spiritual eyes were opened and I began to read the Bible, my understanding was way above what I was getting in church. But when I listened to Father Michael's homily, it's like a graduate course. Now, that said, as I play the devil's advocate, it is not because I disagree with him. It's because he's not speaking to the majority of the people that are listening to the show, okay? Both of us admire Bishop Barron. Go on YouTube. Bishop Barron is speaking to everybody. But unfortunately, Father Michael and Katie are speaking to 30 and maybe 40% of the population that even believe or think there's a God. How do you speak to the other 30 to 60% of the people who don't think there's God or heaven or hell?
How did Jesus speak to them? How did Jesus speak to them? He spoke to the crowd. They weren't all followers.
No. Jesus spoke about love. No, Jesus spoke about love.
Rich, knowing the Bible.
That's what resonated with everybody.
Listen,
no, you guys
Jesus
are speaking
about hell.
If you
listen
sin, you're going to hell. That's
it's
the
about
message. If you're homosexual,
times.
You're going to hell.
No, Rich, you're not nobody's saying
about
that. You got to listen. Listen.
Excuse me.
If you look at the percentages of what we have in Scripture, okay, if we're going to be scientific and we're going to look at the emphasis of what Jesus gave even toward the end of his life, he spoke a great deal of judgment. Even the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to one of the pagan rulers, he spoke about self-control and the judgment to come. Okay, when you talk about love, I've studied the Bible a long time in the languages and whatever. It's a distorted message. Love is not permissiveness, okay? Love is speaking the truth. And to say that there's not an objective and a penalty means you don't really love the person. You're lying to them when
mm-hmm.
you tell them that they don't have to change their ways.
Right.
That's not love, okay? And no, I understand what you talk about, hellfire and brimstone and being mad at everybody. Look, the Holy Spirit, I don't play the Holy Spirit, but you can't read the Scriptures. And I've spent most of my life since my conversion seriously studying the Scriptures. I one time or twice in my ministry, I went through the whole Bible, even to the first chapter of Acts, and every word that Jesus spoke, I captured it and I wrote it down. As a matter of fact, some other person who got caught out in sin did the same thing. And when I looked at what is recorded about what Jesus said, just those words, you get a different perspective. We talk about love, not agape, sacrificial love. We talk about cheap grace and sloppy agape, like it's just permissive. You just overlook everything. That's not love. When you love your children, you don't just say, do whatever you want, steal from us, do whatever you want. That's not love. We speak the truth in love. Yes, love is very important, forgiveness and acceptance, but speaking the truth. And so when you look seriously at the gospel and all of the epistles, the message is let's not do whatever you want. God loves everybody. There's no standards. Just, you know, that's not telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's definitely a hot topic, and you can say things to people, and some people get mad about it, and you know, but a lot of that's conviction. You know, we all get convicted. We're not just talking, and I hear what's being said here is that, you know, the message is about hope, because in spite of all this, you know, even a sinner like me can be saved. And, you know, Paul said it best, you know, that we have all sinned, of which I'm the chief sinner, you know, essentially is what he said. And I think that's the message. But you're right, Father Michael. We, you know, it's just like if Rich is teaching someone Aikido and they're not getting a move down right, do you think he's going to love them through that? You can't love them through that. You have to discipline them and say, you have to do this move. You have to do this throw. And it's the same thing with boxing. It's the same thing with work. You know, if we are running a machine that filters water and someone is not doing it properly, you know, you have to correct them. The difference is that the worst thing we lose here is we lose a student or we lose a piece of machinery. But if we don't correct them from sin, they can lose their soul. And that's a lot worse. So I'd rather someone tell me the truth, you know, and while I don't always like it, it's, you know, I've had people look at me and say, hey, you're getting pudgy. You're getting fat. You need to get out and move around and lose some weight. And I didn't like it, but they really were my friends and they told me the truth, you know, and you just go out and you make the changes. So I appreciate it. I really do. Thanks for sharing that with us, Katie. It is true. It's we have to live that way. And Father Michael, I really appreciate you coming in with the you know, you truly are, out of all of us, the authority on the scripture. And we, you know, that's why I say that you know, I defer most of that to you. But it's wonderful when you hear other people read the scripture and trying to witness to 132,000 people that are out here listening right now. And they're all listening to it.
So, well, I appreciate you allowing me to have the platform to say what I feel and what I believe. Rich, I don't know. To answer the question, I don't know how many people will hear what I just read. The whole purpose of me reading that is not to get people upset or offended, but to share with them how I was raised and what I believe in personally. So first of all, but I honestly, I'm sorry that you didn't hear that last, the one of the verses that I read, because if you listened, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and that is what some of you were, that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So to me, when I read that scripture, I see that as, oh, I have every right to, I have a choice to change. Homosexuality is just not part of, that's not just the only thing that we're targeting here. it's saying that that talked about homosexuals, that talked about drunkards, that talked about slanderers, you know, all of those are kind of lumped in there. It is his word that I believe in that says if we do these things, we won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So because I love everybody, and believe it or not, I really do, I don't agree with everybody, and I don't like the way this world is coming, but I really do love you. And so that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I want to share what I was raised on, and what you do with it, whether you believe me or not, that is between you and the Lord. So what I do is I pray for everyone that hears the truth, that their eyes and their ears will be open to the truth. They'll see the truth. They'll want to change. Maybe if they're doing things that the scripture is talking against, then by our example, they'll want to follow that. Why? Because one day when we are all standing before the Lord, we're all going to, I would love it if we could all, as many people as we can, be there together in heaven. But that's a choice that you're going to have to make. But if you need help, because whether you're homosexual or not, you're having sexual problems,
mm-hmm.
then we want to help you. I want to help you any way I can, even if that's to pray for you. If you are having problems with alcohol and you're a drunkard,
mm-hmm.
I want to pray for you. I want to or get somebody that has had that problem before and help you. A slanderer, the same thing. I'm not going to talk about you behind your back to slander you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help you if I see something wrong, so I will come to you. So that's the kind of the thing that I'm coming from. But why, if you don't mind me asking, why did that upset you so much?
Oh, with Rich. He sent us a message. He's got to drop off, but he'll come back on later, I'm sure. But he had to jump off. But it's just I don't know, and I won't pretend to speak for him, but you know, it just I think most of what Rich does is he is the devil's advocate. So a lot of times, you know, we don't take what he says personal because he comes on the show and then that's part of his role. So it is a role play in some cases where, mm-hmm. you know, he wants to lunge out as the opposition because we don't really have the opposition. Now we've had some people call on and be opposite side of us. But on the most part, most of the folks that we're talking to out here have stuck with us because, you know, they want to hear these messages. And but anyways, that's the kind of opposition that you get. Now, I think that it's beautiful the way that we have an opportunity to kind of to now shift this into a topic on how that people will use the message of love. And Father Michael, you were hitting it just a little bit there whenever you were talking about love does not mean acceptance. And it's like, I was like, okay, there it is right there. Because what's the first thing that we're told when we speak out against evil and wickedness? Well, you know, now Jesus would let us do all this. Jesus was all about love. Jesus was all about tolerance. Jesus was all about... And they paint Jesus as this, you know, as a liberal that would accept everything and would just embrace people and not try to get them to change from their ways. And I think this is a great transition point for the rest
of
this.
Can I make a comment on that, Rich? I mean,
yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to
you know,
as well.
Yes,
I've done a lot of prison ministry. Over the years, maximum security prison, all kinds of prison ministry. You have Christian men that go into prison and it's maybe a Christian background and come out Muslims. I was in a fraternity and I read Jesus talking about taking up your cross, denying yourself, Christian life is hard. Christian life is impossible. G.K. Chesterton said, it's not like the Christian life has been tried and found wanting. It's not been tried. I mean, of course, you know, Rich with his special forces background. And I think we don't talk enough about discipleship, what it really means to die to yourself. And see, people see these consecrated Muslims not compromising anything. And we're trying to accommodate everybody, become just like the world, have a big Christian concert, love everybody, this and that. That's not the message.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why they all walked away from Jesus. And so I think that we need to truly understand what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a discipleship. You know, you obey, you know, in your baptism, you died and rose again with newness of life. There's greater
That's
abilities.
Right.
And so I think that we have to understand we're the army of God, and there's discipline involved with that. And I, when you're recruiting someone, see, recruiters, they lie and they tell you all this stuff. And then when you get in basic training, they lie to you for their own sake. And I think we do that evangelistically. Oh, you're going to have peace and everything. It's a lie. Not that you're not going to have peace, but it's not the way Jesus presented it. It's not the way the apostles presented it, who all died for their faith. And I just think that we're trying to become like the world. And the world wants to see something different. Now, I've tried to be a model, an example. I have mentored probably, I bet you, in the last 35, 40 years, at least 35 men in leadership. And it's not because they compromised, but nor was it because I'm legalistic and hateful. Okay, I spend myself, but this life is not for everyone. God didn't promise you a rose garden, you know. I had Michael Jordan's brother as our sergeant major. He was really, really tough. And I had a service for my battalion one time, and I shared with them. I said, you think the sergeant major's demanding. Let me share some hard sayings that Jesus said. Now, it's mm-hmm. by God's grace, but let's face it. That's why there's not a lot of people following the Lord, because mm-hmm. it's not easy to follow the Lord. It's easy to follow your flesh and indulge and deceive yourself. And so, I mean, Jesus gave us a call to discipleship. In my fraternity, in any football team, there's an attrition rate, okay? And Jesus said many are called, but few qualify. I just think we should tell the truth to the world about what it really means to follow Jesus.
Hmm. Rob, did you have a comment? Thank you, Father Michael. That was
yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yes, and this is actually something that I think Mr. Pacelli hit right on the head earlier on, that I think is kind of the root problem. I almost said root cause, but we don't want to go into that cliche. But I think is the root problem with, you know, not just the Christian or any religious faith, but also, you know, I think it extends out into, you know, how our government is leading us. And that mm-hmm. is, we are, like he was saying, you know, a lot of churches nowadays, you know, they preach that God forgives you. And it doesn't matter what you did, God will forgive you. He will wash away your sins and you will be clean. But the one part that he hit on earlier that a lot of preachers nowadays don't mention is the fact that you are still going to be held accountable. There is still going to come a day where you are going to stand in front of the Lord and you are going to be held accountable for everything that you do. You know, before and after you give your life to Christ. And I just can't help but think, you know, is it the Christian church that is partially to blame for our government, you know, acting the way that they are? Because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, just in these past, you know, couple decades, you know, the Protestant church has been preaching a message of forgiveness so hard without accountability that it's like, oh, you know, God will forgive you for anything. And that's absolutely true, but that still doesn't mean that you can continue doing what you're doing.
Amen.
And it's like, you know, we were founded as a Christian nation, and it almost, you know, I just thought about this just now, and it almost just makes me wonder, you know, is our leadership kind of following that same model where, you know, we are so quick to forgive people but not hold them accountable for what they've done? And it seems like that's what's happening in our criminal justice system. I mean, how many people? And it's just like the fellow that just like the guy that you know, was so belligerent and had a rap sheet a mile long, you know, where he was, you know, harassing people on the subway, and, you know, the one that died in New York because he was in a chokehold. That fellow right there, you know, if he was truly held accountable for the things that he was doing, would that have even happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. He would still be alive, probably. To be truthful with you, I would say he would be alive, Rob.
We're just not, you know, our downfall is the fact that we're not enforcing our laws, and that goes, you know, just from, you know, just simple things like just misdemeanor disputes all the way to, you know, people, you know, coming across the border illegally. We are not enforcing our laws, and we're going to implode on ourselves.
Yeah. I think that you're right with that. And the one thing that is very disturbing, and believe me, I have faced this recently over this, you know, this message that I delivered about, you know, and it was a message of hope. It wasn't a message of just condemning about, you know, and it was not just about homosexual behavior. It was about all immoral, you know, sexual immorality. It was about, you know, is about adultery and not a, the only people that came after me were, you know, two men and that were married to each other and a woman, that, in our community, and they were extremely angry and violent. And, they actually, you know, to be honest with you, it went to court and they played this video of this guy calling me an effing Jew and all this other stuff. And it was really bad. But it was just the part where he says, you know, you're supposed to love everybody. You're supposed to be a Christian and you're supposed to just love and you're supposed to accept us for who we are. And that's where I believe the devil and people through the devil's work try to have done exactly what you said. They've dulled it down to this forgiveness mentality, forgive, 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 with no accountability. And I believe it's used as a weapon against us as Christians and as even just civilized people. A civilized nation has laws, whether you are a follower of Christ or, you know, not. Most people are decent and they want to live in a decent life. But you're right, especially against the Christians. They use that and they say, oh, you can't get mad. You can't demand that I be punished. You, how dare you read that part of the scripture that talks about condemning? Well, it's not about condemning. It should be about if this is the sin, let's recognize it and let's fix it. Like if you're doing a math
warning.
You recognize it, you fix it, and then you get it right. You know what I mean? It's very, very difficult, and it is becoming weaponized now, and that's why I think that we see the degradation that we see. Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, who? He was talking to you.
Oh, no. I'd finish what I was saying, but I absolutely agree. You know, that's, you know, like what you were saying, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, were they forgiven for what they did?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they were. But mm-hmm. did they still face the consequences of their actions? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things we need to understand is Jesus was a fierce prophet. Okay? John the Baptist and Ezekiel, Elijah. We're really making it a mamby-pamby kind of limp-wrist Jesus who threw tables over. He didn't hate people, but he called people to account. He's the judge of the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles had great courage. Yes, they died for their – but it wasn't a passivity. It was a determination. You see, you can slap me in and I'll turn the cheek and I'll still do what God's called me to do. I think it's a misunderstanding as to what love is. There's four words in the Greek for love, okay? You got the erotic love that sometimes is used by the fathers for longing and desiring God. You have a storge love, which is, you know, you got a faith that only a mother could love, and it's a familial love. Then you have philia, which is brotherly love, fraternal love. But then you have an agape love that's a sacrificial love that's willing. It's not this mamby-pamby thing. We have that in marriage. It's a sacrificial love. You make sacrifices for that love. So when people say you have to have love, they're saying you got to have an emotion. You got to overlook my sins. And God does. The Bible says in the Proverbs, it's to a man's glory to overlook a transgression. But you don't leave a person there. With my children, I maybe didn't correct them publicly in front of everybody, but you don't let them go on in that way, or you don't really love them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have no manners at the table. You're never going to get a date. You're like a slob, okay? Well, I'm not going to, you know, say that in such a way, but we misunderstand. Now, Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 13, and I doubt that he always lived up to it. He was a cantankerous person, okay? But what it, the definition is of love. So it's not just, you know, you don't ever criticize. That's not love.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever correct. You correct in love. But we have a misunderstanding what love is, because the English word, you can love ice cream, and you can love your wife, and you can love your country, and we don't understand the dimension. C.S. Lewis has a wonderful book called The Four Loves. As a matter of fact, there were lectures that he gave, I believe, at Oxford. I've actually heard them orally, just tremendous. And so the early Christians were tough, okay? All of the apostles, you know, fishermen, and we have this sense, oh, you got to show – no, you got to show courage in the Christian life, because mm-hmm. you're taking up the cross and you're dying daily to follow Jesus. And mm-hmm. So, you know, that whole thing is, yeah, forgiveness – 70 times 7, you sin against me, I'll forgive you. Divorce, homosexuality, adultery are not unpardonable sins. God will forgive and forgive, but God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. You're not fooling God by saying, oh, I can just go to confession. I could just, you know, repent of my sin and keep living that way. No, no. People, the scripture says, many will say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. He said, I never authorized you. I never knew you. You were lawless. You were doing your own thing. If we're going to read the scripture, let's not just lick the jam off the wheat bread. Let's eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you meditate on the scripture, both old and new, okay, all the church fathers made us understand that the new is contained in the old, and the old is explained in the new. We get a full counsel of God. I can show you in the Old Testament where God is very indulgent, and I can show you in the New Testament where people who lied to the Holy Spirit were killed on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get this misunderstanding that God's some Santa Claus. He's a king,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I think that if we don't share the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand, we're lying to people.
And, you know, something you hit on earlier something that you said that I truly believe. You know, Christianity's hard. It absolutely is.
No.
And I believe that is entirely the reason why Jesus, when he was here on earth, spoke in parables. Because it wasn't a quota to meet. It wasn't something to check off your list as far as things that you accomplished. He spoke in parables because there was no end to it. Every day you tried harder and harder to do better than the day before. And we're just not doing that anymore.
Well, something that Katie said earlier. Now, I'm just telling you what Jesus said, okay? You can, be a cafeteria Christian and take it and leave it. He said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay? We can only do that by the Holy Spirit. But if I'm not the man I want to be, but I'm not the man I used to be, and I've been following the Lord very, very seriously for 52 years, okay? Mm. And if we don't think that there's a perfection that's expected of us because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the regeneration when we were born again that gives us the ability, a new heart, a new, not of stone, but of flesh. That's part of the Christian life. Jesus said, be ye perfect. And that word, if you look at it, it means unto full stature, flourish, come to maturity. Okay, doesn't mean that we don't sin every day. As priests, we have to go to confession once a month. We sin every day. Doesn't mean we don't strive for perfection. The Christian life's not for lazy people who aren't improving their lives. That's not maturity. If you're retarded, if you're still acting the same way as you did in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so if we're going to say, unto full stature, if we're going to say that, it's just an indulgent, God's pure love. I had a friend, and that's the way his children viewed him. He was permissive. He was promiscuous, to be honest with you, and he was in ministry. And he interpreted that as love. That's not love.
Mm.
That's license. That's licentiousness.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think we need to, when we talk about love, okay, we have to show a tolerance, and that's even a low level of love. We have to show a lot of forbearance and be merciful and kind. But you don't make friends with sin and just say, and I have friends that are sinners that love me and they know who I am. Okay, but I can't reconcile with the sin, neither in myself or in others. If you don't speak the truth to people in love, you don't really love them in
yeah.
the biblical sense.
So I want to dive into the uptick of violence in America, and it's so prevalent. Bottom line, kids are not, a bunch of kids jumped on these, I don't know, there was 9 or 10 of them that jumped on these, two Marines and nearly killed them out in San Diego. And there's something breaking down in the homes in America. There is, I don't know if it's, and a lot of those were not fatherless children. They had fathers and mothers in their home. Let's talk about that. What's breaking down? I'd like to hear one of you give me your thoughts on that.
I think it goes back again to no fear of God, so no fear of authority, no respect for life. Okay, and I think it was 3 Marines, and it were like 30 or 40. 9 were arrested. And
right.
There's a lot of stories that the Marines probably were drinking with them and instigated and whatever. But the poor man in Baltimore that was beaten to death because he was praying in front of a Planned Parenthood, we've gotten to where it's bestiality. We have now become animalistic. We've not cultivated our higher self, our souls, or even rational. We're living in a very barbaric, you know, we're killing our children in abortion, we're mutilating young teenagers, and so, you know, it's a poor commentary on where we're at. There's a disregard. Life is disposable. And like you said, elderly people, you see these people just knocking some old lady over, this and that. Something is desperately wrong, but it all goes back to fear of God and recognizing God's sovereignty and accountability. Okay, so it's not you're poorly educated or you're in the ghetto. No, you're angry. You're full of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And you destroy other people. And, I mean, you know, no one feels comfortable anywhere anymore because of that. I mean, people are giving people beatings, and there's no conscience. See, when your conscience is seared, it means that it no longer functions because you continue to persist in your sin. And no longer do you even feel bad about it. You no longer feel conviction about it, because we don't realize that all law is derived from God, all good laws or just laws.
Hmm.
So that's my evaluation.
Yeah. Katie?
I've got a whole bunch of things going on in my mind right now, but, I wish that Rich would come back on, because I wanted to let him know that, you know, I feel like in a way I can kind of relate. Let me just say that, you know, like with Rich, he teaches discipline. He teaches self-control. He teaches when he teaches all these children of all kinds and adults, martial arts. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And so in order to be a good martial artist, and I want to make sure I'm saying that correctly. That's why I wish he would come back on so he could correct me on that. But to be a good martial artist takes discipline, takes hard work, study. It takes courage. It seems like I'm just going by, like, when we put our son in martial arts a long time ago when he was younger, the things that I watched. It's fearful. You're afraid, but you learn to overcome that fear. There's things that you have to show respect. You have to follow and abide by the rules, or you're going to get yourself hurt or could get yourself killed. So you abide by those rules. You're taught those rules, and you obey those rules for a reason. And so I was just trying to relate, I guess, to Rich in that sense. And for me, what I was trying to say earlier, that's why I personally feel like that I have to study the Bible, study the scriptures. What does it say? Because since I'm a Christian, I want to obey and abide by God's rules. Now, that's going to entail a lot of heartache and hurt, and like it was saying in John, I wanted to read this real quick, 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. So I expect to upset people with my Christianity. And right now, going back to the homosexuals,
mm-hmm.
I just
they're living a life of sin, the same, like I read earlier, the same as someone else who sins, who may be straight and having a problem with sexual immorality, or a drunkard or a slanderer. You know, it just, the list went on and on. So I choose not, that's part of the world. And there's a big majority, like Rich was saying, of listeners and people out there that, yeah, I'm sure that they don't agree with what I'm saying. And that's on them. That's their choice. Okay. But at the same time, I just, for me, I'm not of the world. I don't want to be of the world. I'm a servant of Christ. And so Christ is who I follow because I choose to. And so what do I need to do to continue to follow Christ so that one day I will ultimately be with him forever? Well, it's things like this that we're talking about. So I'm not meaning to step on anybody's toes, but if toes got stepped on or someone's upset or offended, then there's a reason for that. And so I hope that that they would go to somebody to maybe solve the problem and see what can be done to help fix that, you know. So I feel like that this generation especially, they lack discipline. So I think what Rich is doing with martial art, I think that's great. I really do. I think it still teaches kids to have discipline. But what about you, Captain McCormick, like with your soldiers? You know, yeah. I mean, the soldiers, if they're in the line of duty, and correct me, please, if I'm wrong, because I'm not one. Mm-hmm. But don't you command them to respect mm-hmm. and follow the instructions that are being given, because you love them so much that you want them to be protected so they don't lose their life to the enemy like that. You're teaching them out of love, and everything you do, you may have to yell at them, you may have to I don't even know what some of the things you all might have to do, but whatever it is, you're still having to implement that discipline like we would with a Christian. Is that right? Is that what you all would do also with soldiers?
Yeah, I've had some hard words with folks, I had hard words with my kids as well, you know, when they did wrong.
Yeah.
But it was for the same reason, to keep them from making a mistake that, and now the soldiers in war, you know, you make a mistake, you might not just kill yourself. You might get a lot of us killed with you. And that was the reason why that sometimes we had to be, you know, harsh. You know, you didn't have time to, you know, to have a full-on discussion about it. Sometimes it really came down to, do it because I told you to do it, and then I'll explain it to you later after we're done with this. And most of them, I would tell you this, that the bulk majority, all of the soldiers I served with that actually were in combat with me, that actually, you know, worked within that field, they to this day talk to me. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to go do a wedding service for one of my soldiers. And, but there were some that we provided protection to, that did not appreciate the way that you spoke to them because you told them to put on your helmet, put on your flak vest, put on your full armor, so you don't get hurt, and keep your mouth shut, stay off the radio. They didn't like that. And to this day, some of them are still upset. But the thing is they're alive to be upset, and they never had to fire their weapon the whole time they were over there because we had this surrounding security around them that they didn't have to, because everybody else that was out there doing that did. And I think that if you look
you
at
were
how
looking
we
out for them.
Well, and that, and it's like with our children, you know, we love our kids. And sometimes
That's right.
we chastise and we discipline our children, and we have to tell them, when they're wrong. And to this day, I mean, I have adult children, and sometimes they'll call me and ask me for advice, and I will tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear, which is the truth. That if you do this, this is the potential consequences. If you don't do this, like Father Michael said, you don't pay your taxes for a couple of years and find out what happens. But it all came down to the same thing. And it's like when we're out here sharing the gospel and the message, or we're on this radio show and we're trying to bring awareness, trying to wake up people in America to say, look around you. It is not good what's happening around us. And it is not okay for you to sit like a mouse in the corner anymore and not say anything. That the lost will be lost. The only way the lost will be saved is they'll have to put their hand out and grab that life preserver that's been thrown out to them through Jesus Christ. If
that's
they
right.
don't grab
that's
it,
right.
then they're going to be lost. And that's a sad situation. But we have to come to the point where we realize we can only do so much, and we do it as best as we can, and we never give up until we're standing before the Lord, so that when we stand before
That's
the
right.
Lord, we're not judged because we were afraid to say something, or we didn't say something when we should have because we were afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. You know, and because you were afraid of hurting somebody's feelings, that message, that one mission that you had in life was to deliver a message of hope to that lost soul, and you missed that opportunity. And I just don't want to be that person standing before God and answering for that. I have plenty of other things to answer. I don't need to answer for that.
Can I say something, James? James, can I say something?
Yes, sir,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I mentor a lot of men around the country. You know, I have a small mission church that Rich is a part of, but I work with the ROTC. I work in a number of different areas. Men that were in my church, I left New London 97, are still regularly in touch with me, and because they want to develop. They want to be discipled, and they want to become mature Christians. Men that I have in seminary, young men especially, that have developed over the years. And they want more than mediocrity. And, you know, Rich will share with us, and we admire him a great deal for going through Ranger School and the Q course and being a Special Forces West Point grad. And I think that when we want to raise up a people, okay, there's a lot more to it. Now, they have to learn how to hear God on their own. They have to learn how to read the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit convince them of things as well. But I think it's important for us to not compromise and to stand for something, or else we're going to fall for everything.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But it is. It's... it's important because we have so much. And I think because people have been silent, have been afraid of stepping on toes, have been told to sit down and shut up, and they've done it, we see the product of that right now. We see the product on every New York subway. We see it on every school ground now. We see a blatant just violation of humanity that goes on across America every day. And, you know, this poor state trooper that was murdered here in Mingo County, West Virginia, outside of the town of Matuan, killed by a crackhead, meth head, you know, loser. I mean, I don't know any other way to say this. And he needs to face justice. I pray that he seeks forgiveness for his sins. And I think that any Christian, we're having a hard time. We have a hard time with that. We have a very hard time with forgiving because a lot of us want to grab a rope, you know, when we catch somebody doing such horrific things. But we have to let justice work. But when justice doesn't work, especially in America, and sometimes it's not, when justice is not working and people are not held accountable for their actions, then we lose faith in this system and people start to become animalistic. They become animalistic. They become, they break off in their groups, their, I would say tribes, but more like, since they're animalistic, it would be something else. It would be a pack. They break off in their packs. And then they go out and they create havoc. You know, it's kind of like gangs in LA, gangs in New York, and the violence that we saw in the Middle East with the different tribes that did horrific things to each other and made life just miserable. And that's all because there is an absence of people that are seriously putting out the truth, and people are not held accountable. I just can't say that enough. It's that there is no accountability. This guy that killed this state trooper, at best he'll get 20 years, and he will be in a courtroom, and it'll be years and years of this back and forth debate on whether or not. I mean, it took him less than a second to take that man's life, but it's going to take West Virginia years and months and years to properly prosecute and hold him accountable. And I think that is a sad situation. I don't believe that is what God envisioned for our country, for us to have people that have so many ways to get out of doing the time for their crime. It's frustrating for me. So that's my thoughts.
Well, when we go back to Plato, if we're going to talk about justice, and certainly God has justice as well, the meaning of justice is giving someone what they deserve. So if you were told that you were going to get paid $700 a week and your boss gave you $500, that was unjust, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we really have gotten away from what justice. Now, everybody wants mercy. Everybody wants grace. But if there's not justice, you're taking away from some to favor others, and that's not a just society. And so when we talk about justice, we need to talk about God's justice as well. And there's a justice system. You can look throughout the Bible, and let me tell you something about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus not only modified, but he made the Ten Commandments more stringent. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Plain in Luke 6. So he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it, to show us how to live it. But even St. Paul talks about the law of Christ. And if we don't think that by the Holy Spirit we have to live, you know, dress right, dress, and some kind of accountability to God and to others for the way we treat them, and then we're missing the mark. We're not understanding the Christian life in the way Jesus showed us how we should live.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was spot on right there.
Yep. Agreed. Anybody out there?
We're here.
Oh, okay. I hear you now. Where's Captain McCormick? We lose him?
James, are you here? I guess.
Now, listen. We're dropping like flies. We are dropping like flies. I said we're dropping like flies. It's going to be the three of us now.
it may be some technical difficulties, or there may be, you know, some other conversations or whatever. But
actually, I think Captain McCormick is about to bring on a caller.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay,
will be nice.
Great. Hey, I have a caller that just called in, Nathan from Orlando. So, you know, we're reaching a lot of folks. And he just made an – him and I were talking in the back green room, and he was talking about the Greatest Generation and the children of the Greatest Generation and some of the upbringing. And I think it was just a cool assessment. So, Nathan, could you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're thinking and what you're hearing on this radio.
Yeah,
and we're thankful
yeah.
for listening in.
Yes, yes. I enjoy your conversation. My name's Nathan from Orlando. I am a
hi,
Christian.
Nathan.
Got saved. What was that?
I said, hi, Nathan.
Hey. Well, yeah, I am a Christian. I do have a little bit more theological training than most people, the average person out there, the average Christian, because I've spent a lot of time in Bible schools. But anyway, here's what I've noticed, a point I have noticed, and I've seen it in my generation really, really hard. If you get a chance, go on YouTube and type in, you know this lady that goes around and challenges young people on abortion and stuff like that. Can't remember her last name, but her first name is Kristen. But anyway, if you type in, go to YouTube and just type in, I have a womb and I'm not a woman, okay? And it's only a 51-second video. You want to? The reason I want you to see this, I want you to look at these kids in the audience and watch how they respond when this lady says, the young girl says, I have a womb and I'm not a woman. And she goes, you have a womb, you are a woman. Just look at the faces of these people coming out of their seat going crazy. Here's these children are the grandchildren of the children of divorce in the 70s. Now, I've seen this my whole life in slow motion. And one of the things I think that is a part of us not repenting is the church not really understanding what repentance is. Back whenever divorce started happening in the 70s, the church, you know, it was hard for a woman to go back to church when her husband left her, and back then it was larger families. You know, she goes back and sits on the back row with five or six kids, and she was not felt welcome. And then when her children started getting Roe v. Wade came along just for them, and these children, they were just a broken heart. Somebody whispered in their ear, I love you, and they got her pregnant, and then she's got a choice to make, and she's getting an abortion, and the church is like, you know, abortion, and they're preaching real hard against it. And in a sense, they pushed these people away, okay? And it was hard for them to come in, and I've always said the children, the people that the church rejected in the 70s are the two people, the two biggest enemies of the church that has taken it over today, and that there's the children of abortion and the children of atheism. They're joining the church. They're making you accept us as we are, and it's really messing us up. But I was just telling your screener there, here's what I think one of our biggest mistakes is. We know repentance to mean, let's say, for instance, I have a problem with cussing, and you tell me you need to quit cussing, and you need to quit. You need to repent. And I remember my first pastor used to illustrate repentance as I'm going in this direction. He's walking across. And I change my mind, and I turn around and go back. But you know what? We don't change what's in our soul right now and then jump up and start doing the complete opposite. If we did, we're probably hypocrites. Here's what I've seen repentance to be. And I was giving him this example. The children of the Great Depression, they had a hard life because of the economy. If they got some, the kids would sit out of school for a week to help their dad do a job because they needed the money. And it was hard on them. And whenever we got attacked, these kids went off and they beat the worst enemy in human history in 3.5 years. They come back. They're building the country. They're teaching their kids, you know, Bible stories. They were in church learning all the, you know, everything. It was a good upbringing. But there was educators in the system that was teaching these kids in the school system, and then when they grew up and went off to college, after a couple lectures and a flip of a switch, these kids hit the streets opposing everything. Now that is repentance. Their mind was, they were transformed by the renewing of their mind, and not, it's an act that I've got to do. Okay, that's it. I'm not going to cuss, or I'm not going to smoke, and I can make myself not do it, or I can do it hiding because I might get in trouble. But that constant indoctrination is is where I think America is letting down. And one of my favorite scriptures is in James, where it says, let not many of us become teachers, my brethren, because we'll incur a stricter judgment. If you notice, the little rudder on the great ship and the little spark that makes such a great forest fire, it's these little things that we take for granted, like, you know, I don't want to hang around with this guy because he cusses too much, and I offend him by telling him, you need to quit cussing around me. And I'm not saying we should say it's okay to cuss, but I think if we could respond in a way that this guy doesn't feel rejected because of the way he lives, it would probably contribute to that repentance process. Here's the best example of repentance. If I'm going northbound on the interstate and I conclude that I need to be going southbound, and before I make it to the next exit, if I get in an accident and I die, you know, you can say, well, but you were still going northbound. But God's going to say, I've seen his heart and his mind right here. And this is where he repented, even though it never produced going southbound in his life. And and I think what I'm saying is we're in too big of a hurry to demand to see results and then just assume that maybe somebody's not really saved, you know, he didn't really, you know. And the reason this is important to me, I've seen a lot of people over the years. I got saved in 1980, just before my 20th birthday. And I've seen how church culture does not respond to people that's not from church culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why we see so many of these people, like these people that beat up and killed these Marines, you know, and so much stuff out there. I always look and see this is from another time prior to this. This is not, we just woke up one day and people disrespect people.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if any of that makes sense.
It does. It does. And Nathan, we really appreciate you being on the radio show, man. And Father
yes,
Michael.
Thank you.
Anybody?
What I'm basically saying is, you know, it's like that thing, like I've seen it in the 70s. You know, the church, in a sense, went into itself. It went deeper into church culture. Then whenever the schools started getting stupid, they went into church culture with homeschooling or Christian schools, and we segregated ourselves from the culture. And I look around and I see church culture, and it's like you see everything just healthy people. You know, they're not perfect, but it's a lot more functional, and yet outside it's just like, and this is what I'm concerned about. You know, it says if the salt that doesn't do what it was meant to do, and that's preserve, will be thrown out to be trampled by men. And I think that's where the persecution might be coming, you know?
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well,
anyway,
thanks.
I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, what do you guys think about that? Father Michael?
Yeah, I think the repentance, the Greek word is metanoia, and certainly it is changing direction, but it's also changing perspective and changing the way you think. So that's also an important thing. And, you know, I came to Christ off the coast of Vietnam in 1971, was baptized in the Holy Spirit in January 72, and I've been around, you know, what he's talking about and been in a lot of different situations. There is some sense, though, that the Bible tells us to come out and be separate. See, we don't talk a lot about personal holiness. That's what draws people to Christ. See, we want to conform to the world so we're accepted. No, we shouldn't condemn anybody. I'll walk with people that are not living right and love them. I have students that are androgynous or are trans, whatever. You love everybody. But when you love somebody, you don't want them to stay that way. If somebody smelled really bad and you really cared about them, you know, my wife will say that to me. Look, I'm going to tell you because I care what you look like for the others. If you really love somebody, you're going to share it with them. So I think, yeah, we need to accept people. And, you know, when we went through the whole Jesus movement and hippies and this and that, that's fine. That's fine to accept people, but you don't want them to stay that way. That's not what happened in the early church. Like Katie read, and some as such were some of you, but you've been washed. There's a difference that takes place. So it's not just, you know, turning the way you were going. It's also mentally, you know, making a change in the way you think. It's a paradigm shift as well. So I appreciate his comments, but, you know, I've lived through, you know, all the changes as well. And I would dare to say that we have compromised and we have, you know, turned into a Hollywood, a lot of the mega churches just to accommodate people. And, you know, the personal holiness or being different. I mentioned about the Muslims in prison. See, these guys were attracted to them because they were distinct. Mm. And we want so much to be accepted. And, you know, I wear my black clerics. I have a target on my back no matter where I go. Okay, and that's not a pompous, sacrimonious thing. I'm recognizable. But mm-hmm. It also has to do with, you know, and I know the way people feel about the Lord by the way they respond to me. So I really think that what I see personally, being in the ministry, it'll be 50 years next June in 2024, is the personal holiness and character formation is greatly lacking, because it's all about greasy grace, cheap grace, sloppy agape, God loves everybody. But the Jesus I've been serving was not a crutch but strengthened my legs, but he has caused me to change. I look at that word, and it's like looking in a mirror, and I realize how messed up I am. And by his grace, I can become better.
That is wonderful. Yeah. And it's always good to get callers that call in. And I could tell that Nathan's like many of our callers. They listen in, and something will just move them. And I take them all back to the green room. And sometimes they just want to tell me something. But you all would not believe how many people that you're touching. And the message that Nathan gave us from Orlando, as you know, he's out, you know, doing his thing, is understand this, that we are reaching people. And I think that that's a great, great thing. The other thing is that we're learning that there are folks out there that truly love the Lord and truly want to see a better thing happening for our country. I'm just amazed by it. So every time I get a call in, believe me, we've had calls come in from Singapore and everywhere else, you know, so it's always amazing. And I'm thankful to God for this. Katie, Rob, anything else? We got about 10 minutes left, folks. Let's start winding it down.
Well, one of the things that, yeah, to follow up on what Pastor Pacelli was saying was, you know, a scripture that popped to mind, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, where, you know, they talk about, it says they will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And, you know, I think that, you know, our society has gone that way. Most of society, you know, just wants to follow the person that is going to tell them what they're doing is right, whether that's the truth or not. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are just wanting to just follow their own evil desires, and and our, you know, our government is just enabling that. They're just feeding the feeding that monster, and it's, you know, it's we're spiraling down because of that.
You know, and that's interesting that you say that, because you know, you see that, and you see the. And look, I still believe that there are some decent Democrats and so-called liberals out there, and we've had some decent people, but they're getting fewer and far between. And I think that, you know, what's running the country now are people that, you know, I'm really not sure what the agenda is, because, but then again, I never understood the mind of an arsonist. I never understood the mind of a serial killer. I never understood the mind of a church destroyer that just came in purely for the purpose of destroying the membership in a church. There are people that do that. And Father Michael, I'm sure you can speak on that, that literally, we'd see people that would come into a church. They'd come in just and stir things up, and then they'd leave, you know, kind of like a tornado.
My history, I've had such things happen in churches, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and
they're wolves in sheep's clothing, that's right.
Yeah, well, my pastor years ago told me, he said, there are church destroyers out there that if you have a ministry, they will set in and they'll just try to destroy it. So what's going on in our country right now is two things. Godly people are not voting the way they need to, voting with their principles in their heart. They're voting based on what somebody's telling them. You know what I mean? And they're a horrible, horrible time during the primaries. And you see this because they don't vote for the best qualified or the person that they know in their heart that is going to do the right thing. They're voting for the person that has the most money, who that they think could probably win the election so that their party wins. Maybe it's not the good Christian, nice person that you want to win. So they're taking a second. And I'm watching it unfold. It's just sad. I'm just perplexed by it. You know, at this point in time, I welcome the return of Jesus Christ to this earth now, just because of the wickedness that you continuously see, and it's getting worse every day. So,
James, can I mention something?
Yes,
a lot of the exorcism work I've done over the last 47, 48 years, there's a lot more evil that's going on than we're aware of. I went to an attorney, and there were two attorneys, and then we had a two-hour meeting together about a will. And the first thing he asked me was about exorcism, very, very concerned about the evil. And see, only through the power of Jesus can people be delivered. I've seen so many situations over the years. And I think that we have an anthropological problem, and we think that humanity is basically good. We're all sinners saved by grace. Yes, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But Jesus will give us a new heart. You know, he'll exchange that heart of stone with a heart of flesh. But I think we're naive sometimes as to the condition of humanity. And let me tell you, people give testimonies about a lot of things, but you don't hear too many people giving testimonies that they were freed from demons. The Bible talks about Mary Magdalene, who had gotten delivered from seven demons. And we have to realize the reality of what we're dealing with here. And people are deceived, and there's a lot of things that they need God to help them with. And believe me, when someone gets delivered, they're not going to psychiatrists for 20 years. It's the mercy and the grace of God. It's the love of God. But then if you don't change the way you live, the Bible says, and I've seen it, okay, almost 50 years, I've seen it. that they'll be in a worse place than they were initially. I've seen it happen. So I just think we got to get serious about the truth, and we can't sugarcoat, you know, the realities. A lot of people are laboring under a lot of things that Jesus died for.
I'd like to tag on the back of what he said. Is that okay?
Yes, please do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it just brought to mind the scripture that my dad used to teach me all the time in Hebrews 10:26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice for sins left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And then down here, I was just kind of skimming through the Bible while y'all were talking, and I thought this was pretty cool because, Captain McCormick, this is something that made me think of you. Also, in Hebrews 10, down here on 30, verse 38, but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So I'm proud of this show and what we do for others. And I don't know if we're going to reach many people or not. I don't know. But I do know one thing, that I'm grateful for this platform that you have given. Well, I can only speak for myself, given me to say what I believe and why, and maybe I can help some listeners out there. So I love it when we have callers too, by the way. I think we need to do that more often.
Yeah.
Just my opinion.
I agree.
But I appreciate this show.
Hey, we appreciate you. We appreciate all of you. And
tell Rich we love him. Tell him we love him.
He's listening. I'm sure he's listening in right now.
Yeah. Love you.
Everybody all together on three. Yep. 1, 2, 3. We love you, Rich.
We love you, Rich. Father Michael, do you want to close us out in prayer tonight?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and your love and for the judgment that Jesus bore for our sins. And, Lord, we recognize that each of us is a sinner. The persons that Katie read about in Scripture and the sins that lurk in each of our hearts and even in our thoughts. And, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be better people, that you'll help us to be saints and holy ones by your Holy Spirit. Lord, our country is in a mess, and we, your people, have to humble ourselves and confess our sins and renounce our sins so that you will heal our land. I thank you for this platform and everyone that's listening. May they find your grace and peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, we have come to the close of the last 25 seconds of the show. And I just want to say to you all that I really appreciate each and every one of you and all of the listeners out there. God bless you. Thank you for listening in tonight. Katie, Rob, we always love having you on this show. Father Mike, love you, brother. Love you, love you. Rich, we love you too. Good night, everybody. God bless and sleep well. Good night, everybody.
Good night.